tea, coffee, and the legal advisors are here, stakeholders are here, and the honorable members are here. So we can commence. We have been at this for such a very long time. If I may just make a very brief point, I think we are at that stage where we share our views on a particular clause succinctly and move on. I don't think long speeches can be made in the House. So articulate, find each other agreement. If there's disagreement, we agree to disagree civilly and we move on. But we have been doing very well thus far. So I just thought I should make the point. Remember, disson trempar la tontere.
Not a long speech.
Yes.
In terms of the order of the day, I see on program material for us to meet this afternoon as well, after the lunch break. But we have been sitting off the House Foundation some very important matters to be discussed. I want to propose that we hit, that we carry on the meeting until the lunch break, and then we don't meet this afternoon so that we're able to attend the plenary.
Honorable Dreyer, I am an eternal optimist. I had hoped there wouldn't be any earth-shattering events, but the objective conditions have overtaken my subjective wishes. So if we had insisted that we meet here after 2 o'clock, I would be alone in this year. So, remember, that's the reality that we face, that keen interest in the debate that will take place in the House, so I don't see us meeting after 2. Parliamentary Legal Advisor, Madam, if memory serves me well, we're on page 13.
14. Yes.
Of clause 11?
Clause 12.
Clause 12. Okay,
close to.
Thank you very much,
ma'am. Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 12, sub 2. In determining the amount of compensation to be paid in terms of this Act, the expropriating authority must not, unless there are special circumstances in which it would be just and equitable to do so, take account of A, the fact that the property had been taken without the consent of the expropriated owner or expropriated holder. B, the special suitability or usefulness of the property for the purpose for which it is required by the expropriating authority. If it is unlikely that the property would have been purchased for that purpose in open market. C, any enhancement in the value of the property. If such enhancement is a consequence of the use of the property in a manner which is unlawful. D, improvement made to the property in question after the date on which the notice of expropriation was served upon expropriated owner and expropriated holder, as the case may be, except where the improvements were in advance against agreed to by the expropriating authority or where they were undertaken pursuant of obligations entered into before the date of expropriation. Anything done with the object of obtaining compensation, therefore. And if any enhancement depreciation before or after the date of service of the notice of the expropriation in the value of the property in question, which can be directly attributed to the purpose in connection with which the property was expropriated.
Thank you very much. Thank you, ma'am. Honorable Sithole, followed by Honorable Sultani and Honorable Dreyer.
Thank you. Okay, Chairperson. Chairperson, on clause 12.4.1, I'm just trying to find out about when they are talking about just and equitable. What determines criteria for just and equitable? If they can let up, they don't get to explain. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one. Unlikely on B, on 2B. Unlikely. What do you mean by, what calculation does that mean? Let me say we are in court now. If they say unlikely, what does that say? And then the last question person is E. I think therefore should be E. I think the spelling will therefore. I don't know how I'm wrong.
Before you, Honorable Sultan, I just want to make sure that the legal advisor and the writers are following exactly what Mr. Sithole said. The parliamentary legal advisor kindly requests you to just go over what you had said. Thank you. Kindly switch on your mic.
Okay, sure. Just as I say on page 12, on page chapter 5, on page 12, page 12, page 12, page 12,
page 12, page 12, page 12, page 12, page 12, page 12, page 12, page 12, sit next to you now all the time. Quite
now. Thank you, Chaplain. Chaplain, I was sitting on chapter 5, verse 12:1. Then the just and equitable. What are the remaining criteria for that and equitable? That's what I want to understand from legal point of view. And the other one, Chaplain, is that one 2B, where it starts with if it is unlikely. What I am trying to understand, how do you determine unlikely? And then the last one, chapter 7, is E. Therefore, I think that one is therefore should be E at the end of therefore. The spelling, I think, is not correct.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. So on 12-1, recall that during the public hearings, a view was expressed and actually deliberated on this, that when the government has to move wholesale or so many members of a given community from a given village, so to speak, government needs to take into account in the way in which it offers compensation, restoring those people, those communities, when it resettles them somewhere, restoring them to the same kind of lifestyle, so to speak, to which they were used before being approached this way. And I would want us to factor that into the process at the stage. I was waiting until we get to the stage. In other words, let's have an additional item below E to say in the case of expropriation targeting, and I'm not saying this negative text, targeting communities. The other factor that needs to be taken into account is restoring or ensuring that where they are going to resettle themselves, they are similar facilities which they used to enjoy. Because as much as they will be compensated on an individual basis, because of the current situation in South Africa where you will get in a given community one type of facility. Let's say there was a sports facility and individual members of the community will be paid individually, compensated for their part. But when it gets to the new heights where they're moving, there may be no sports facility. The government should, in other words, consider, you know, where provision for the re-establishment of the lifestyle that they used to enjoy. I wouldn't say they should necessarily be shot, because it takes an individual to say, I would have a shop.
That's why that they should be wholesale. Yes, I made your point to that almost. We agree, you summed it up when you began. You used the example of communities. If communities are moved, they should not be left off worse than what they were. So they need to have a status consumed with prior to their removal. And then you gave two examples, now you're into your fourth example. This is why I had to intervene, sir. No offense, man. Madam Honorable Drake.
Thank you, sir. So, A, the four factors given, current use, history of acquisition, market value of the property, extent of direct state investment. Okay, so not market value, but the others, current use, history, and extent of direct state investment. These factors have no direct monetary value. So it's difficult to determine, you know, how it will affect the compensation. So we want to add under 2, at the bottom as the factor G, actual financial loss. In determining the amount of, so 2 reads, in determining the amount of compensation to be paid in terms of this expropriation, steering authority must not, unless there are special circumstances and which it would be just an equitable to do so, take account of, and then A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, actual financial loss. I think that would also accommodate specifically Agri SA's concern, which they, where they use the term prana salt, and where solatum, that's the right word. Thank you.
Are you done, Honorable Three? It was a sudden stop. Honorable Member, Madam Mado.
Honorable Chair. No, is that a question, Chair? Around the issue of the communities, has it been made as an example to say that they must not be worse off. And when they are given the land or the accommodation, it must be in the same status as they were. I'm not sure, Chair, because this is not land reform, this is expropriation. Where we can say that, because in the land reform, it's whether you are being compensated as cash, or you are given a land equal to where you were saying. I think here is an expropriation. I don't think the issue of, because you'll be paid, we agree that you'll be compensated. But we can't say that you must be given land in the same status as previously you were saying, because this is not land reform. That particular thing happened when we are dealing with land reform. Here is expropriation. Expropriation, we expropriate because there is public interest. And then also the criteria has been laid out indicating that it is just and equitable. When they are saying just and equitable, they would be looking at the current use of the property. They have made a step, the history of acquisition and use of property, which means to say that how did you attain or acquire that particular land before? You know, all those things would be looked at. But I don't think the issue of giving the communities or the those people that has been expropriated giving the same status of the land, because this is not land reform. I'm just asking a clarity to say that, because it's a clarity at the same time, but my understanding is that expropriation is when the land or the property is needed for public interest. And then the expropriating authority will approach those people, make an offer, you know, to say this is how we're going to pay. And then if there is no argument at a later stage, it's when it is being expropriated. So I don't think it fits very well, Chair, the issue of giving people the same status, because this is expropriation, this is not land reform.
Honorable members, did I miss your hand, Honorable Ellis?
Maybe now, this is actual financial loss.
What do we mean by actual financial loss?
I want to check the one chair, because the issue of expropriation, it's, you follow the certain criteria, you look also all of this market value and so on, by actual financial loss, what is the meaning of this?
Thank you. I hope you are raising another mess and not answering another member at the stage. Because all of you ask questions and make comments. So let us get the
Minister, I'll assume that you will give me an opportunity to respond to that. And honestly, that's what I wanted to
do. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Legal Parliamentary Office.
Chairperson, I'm going to respond to the question that was about just inequitable compensation. I think when you look into Prop 1, we must be mindful or also look into 25 subsection 3 of the Constitution, which is part of our preamble. I think for me, when you look into the criteria that will be used when you're looking into just an equitable compensation, I think the key word for me would be that part that says, we, having regard to all relevant circumstances, including. So for me, that means you're not leaving other circumstances, because if you look into it, if you were to include everything in that list, there might be things that you have excluded, and those things that you have excluded. So the drafting is nicely done, neatly done, in the sense that depending on that particular circumstance, for an example, the issue that was raised of a bond, it is a bond on a house that will be taken into account. There is this that's relevant on that particular. So the drafted equitability will be determined according. So the list is not a closed list. So, thank you, Chairperson. I think the use of language unlikely, and maybe my colleagues can assist me there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In regard to language, is there any taker? The word, if I recall, there was therefore, and there was also a query with regard to unlikely. So anyone would like to assist us, kindly indicate. State legal advisor, thank you, sir.
Chair, just on the therefore, in this instance, it's therefore without an E. I think it's the correct use.
I don't think Mr. Sikola, you clearly said therefore without.
Yeah, Chair, this instance it's not therefore with E, it's therefore, it's for payment for. So it's correct, it was for E, yeah, therefore which the compensation.
Baba, sorry, did you get that? If I understood the state law as correct, what he's saying is there are two words. There's therefore that ends with an E. I'm angry, therefore I'm going to have my successor. And then there's another therefore without the E. I owe you 20 rent. This is payment, therefore, without the E.
I'm not sure if I've
made the situation worse. Clarified it.
Thank you, Jim. No, I must say, you explained much better than I did. Thank you.
Zama. So that, Honourable Deputy Minister?
Yeah. Obviously, in the spirit of just trying to be helpful rather than just undermine the work of the committee. First of all, in terms of the matter which Honourable Tani raised, the issue of upper communities that gets moved off land and so forth, I think part of what was said is is correct, namely this is not about land reform or land restitution, this is about expropriation. However, colleagues will remember that when we were dealing with Clause 9, we undertook to introduce a direct reference to PIE, the prevention of illegal eviction, and we also, in our reflection, we thought also we should include the reference to ESTA, security of tenure. So we'll do that in 9. Obviously, we need some progress, but there are a number of things which we need to report back on, but the pieces that we dealt with last week. So hopefully that will address the matter under Clause 9 when we get to it. The sense of unlikely, it's more perhaps a political rather than or a substantive rather than a legal drafting matter. What is intended there is, to use an example, because I always understand things better by using examples, in determining the amount of compensation, one of the things that shouldn't be taken into account would be, let's say the state requires some run-down buildings and whatever in order to build a massive airport or a port or something like that, which would then increase the value of the land and the properties and so on that are getting expropriated massively because there's state interest. And that shouldn't affect the compensation, which would be just and equitable, because on the open market, an individual owner of a building wasn't going to get the kind of price that the state may be prepared to offer in order to get moving. So I hope that answers. In other words, if there's a significant increase in value as a result of the act of expropriation. Alternatively, I suppose the reverse would apply as well. If the value of the land drops significantly, or building, that also should not affect someone with a mortgage bond, for instance. So it's trying to exclude the impact, determining compensation is trying to exclude the impact of the proposed expropriation in determining what the impact is. I hope that makes it somewhat clear. In regard to the matter that the Honourable Dreyer raised, actually I think you're unintentionally shooting yourself in the foot because G would be governed by must not be taken into account, which is opposite of what you're trying to say. So it would be inappropriate to introduce G, your proposed G, because it's achieving the reverse of what you're intending. But let me just say why it's important. There might be a financial loss. There might be a financial gain in the case of expropriation. It will all... That will be determined by what is just and equitable, based on A to E, and not exclusively A to E, as the parliamentary board might be saying. So, to take another example, because always find it easier to think about these things. The property around Gautrain stations in Hampton has tripled in value. Okay. Now, next month we wanted to expand the station in Sandton, the Gautrain station, we need to expropriate, presumably. I think I will accelerate by the saying that's appropriate. Now, that's why D, in terms of one of the criteria for assessing value, what would be just and equitable. So market value would be one consideration, and that would reflect a tripling. But it's public money that has helped the fancy law firms at which my son works. The fancy law firms, their properties have tripled in value. But it's the public money, taxpayers' money. So it wouldn't be just and equitable to give them market value. So in effect, there would be a kind of financial loss, not on their original purchase, but on what they could achieve. So that's why we can't guarantee that there would be no financial loss. It would be inappropriate. Other things also, the financial loss means basically the market value might not be achieved. But it might not be achieved one way or another. So I hope that's from a kind of conceptual point of view rather than a legal point of view why we're wanting to allow just and equitable to be the governing thing and not a straight financial calculation. It needs to come into it. The market value doesn't need to come into it. It's one of the criteria. But it may or may not be the principle. So I hope that explains what we're trying to do. Thank you very much.
context is given, let me give you a chance to rejoin the Honorable Dreyer, and then I'll revert to a few times.
Mr. Chino, that's fine. I want to ask a question through you to the Deputy Minister. Under 12.1, the A, B, C, D, and E, those five factors, that's a bit of a concern in the sense that there are so many authorities that could expropriate, and there's no mechanism to ensure that they all use a single methodology to determine just and equitable. So the question is actually, how do we ensure that there's consistency in the application of these five factors through all the various expropriating bodies?
Sure. Once you are outside, can you check who's selling here next door? Just ask them to keep it down. A question, Professor. Let's a few minutes.
Well, I guess that's exactly why we're writing this new legislation, to provide a general law application, a general guidance to expropriation in general. But ultimately, and presumably somewhat different situations will require different adaptations to the way in which compensation is determined, depending on the thing, but guided by these things. But ultimately the courts will, and that's why they're specifically compensation is challengeable or open to discussion, and Section 25 of the Bill of Rights says that explicitly. So at the end of the day, if there's problematic unevenness in the way in which compensation is determined by expropriating authorities, which is unconstitutional and illegal once we've got this piece of legislation, then ultimately the courts would be the arbiters of the matter.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable Sultan.
Thank you, Chair. Since I raised this point, I've had a response from Honourable Mar, and I would like to refer the committee to Clause 25.2A. No, 25.48. The public interest includes the nation's commitment to land reform. So we have, that has to be taken into account. It's not that we are acting outside of the intended levels of this bill when we factor in land reform. In fact, should we do it differently, would be that step would be objectionable. So we have to resettle people in a manner, you know, that would show that we are sensitive to the issues of land reform, and also the issue of unregistered, you know, rights. Because of the community automatically, because you live in that area, you automatically have the right to use that sports fields, that stadium, and so on, for your cattle and so on. So, and this is where I am. And I think that the bill as it stands does not give an indication that such interests will be taken care of. And I want to assume that, you know, a court of law or an expropriator will factor that into the process. Because nowhere in this bill is that interest, you know, addressed in any which way whatsoever. And that's why I want us to have this particular sub-clause to say those interests will be taken into account in determining that. Because there is no individual in the community who say, I want that chair to be there. Otherwise, it would look like there's a new version altogether. So, but if the bill provides for that, then whosoever approaches to that committee will know that I've got to provision for that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Sultan. Honourable Madame Madop.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair. I agree with my colleague to say that 4A also covers the type of interest
includes nation's commitment to land reform and to reform to bring about equitable access to all South Africa's natural resources. The way I interpret this one, Chair, is to say that what do we mean by public interest? Sometimes the public interest will mean to say that maybe we need the land for the purpose of land reform. So it means to say that it should be for the public interest. So I agree with the colleague, but it doesn't talk to say that expropriation is part of land reform. It says public interest. Let me say the communities here have cleared the land. And then they come to the Department of Land Reform to say, we need that land. So that particular land will be expropriated on behalf of those communities that are claiming for the land. I don't know whether I'm understanding the same with the colleague. Because that's what it says here. It is public interest. They are trying to make an example. To say public interest at some stage will mean nation's commitment to land reform. When people are claiming land, the expropriation can be done because it is a public interest. It is the public that needs that land, so it's public interest. Thanks.
I've noted you, Deputy Minister, I'm going to put you. I just want to come down, Honorable Fudan is jumping up and down. Let me give him the opportunity.
Thank you, Chair, for this engagement. I think what's happening here is that my learned colleague is looking at public interest from one angle, and I'm looking at public interest from a different angle. Expropriates, but compensates, such that the public interest is still there. So I think that's the little difference, and I think in principle we are basically together. So.
Well, I see both your heads nodding in the same direction, so.
I agree with what you said. I know I was trying to get the same point. So, on the land reform is essentially about, and land restitution could involve expropriation, may not, but could involve expropriation in order to restore land or provide land to people who have been expropriated, dispossessed, and so on in the past. The example you're using is the reverse, as you correctly said. You're saying it's a poor community and we need to build a dam where they live. So it's reversed. So if we look at the preamble, sub 5, 6, and 7 deal with land reform and land restitution matters, okay, but don't deal with your case, okay, which is why we're proposing then to directly refer in 9 to the prevention of illegal evictions and to security of tender, ESTA Act. So we cover your situation, you see. And we'll come to that later when we show how we're trying to do it.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Madam Minister.
I'll wait for that moment, Chair. Because I don't think that we need to be specific in the way in which compensation will be addressed here. Thank you.
Okay, we say that at the appropriate time and portion where that is articulated, that you raise if you are not fully convinced that it covers the mischief you are referring to. Madam, the pleasure of your sweet voice.
Clause 13, interest and compensation. Interest at a rate determined from time to time in terms of Section 80, Sub 1B of the Public Finance Management Act 99, Act No. 1 of 1999, from the date of expropriating or from the date the expropriating authority or the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated takes possession of the expropriated property shall accrue on any outstanding portion of the amount of compensation payable in accordance with Section 12 and become payable in the manner contemplated in Section 17. Provided that if the expropriated owner or expropriated holder fails to comply with Section 14.1 within the period referred to in that section, including any extension of such period, the amount so payable during the period of such failure and for the purposes of the payment of interest is not regarded as an outstanding amount. B, until the claimant complies with the requirement of Section 17(5), the amount of payment during the period of such failure or for the causes of the payment interest is not regarded as an outstanding amount. Interest due in case of this subsection must be regarded as having been paid on the date on which the amount has been made available or by the prepaid registered posted to the expropriated owner or the expropriated holder concerned, or electronically transferred to his or her account as the case may be. D. A payment, utilization or deposit of an amount in terms of Section 17(2), 19(2) or 21 or 2 must be regarded as being a payment to the expropriated owner or the expropriated holder, and no interest accrues on any such amount as from the date on which it has been so paid, utilized or deposited.
Thank you very much. As they say, Parliament well read. Comments, questions? Well read. Thank you very much. You may proceed. Thank you.
Paragraph 14, compensation claim 14(1). An owner or holder of an unregistered right who receives a notice of expropriation in terms of Section 8(1) must, subject to Section 25, within 20 days from the date on which that notice was served, that owner or holder deliver or cause to be delivered to the expropriating authority a written statement, A, either confirming that the compensation as stipulated in that notice was agreed to, or, if applicable, indicating whether the offer of compensation stipulated in such notice is accepted, B, if no compensation was offered, as in the case of an expropriation in terms of Section 22, or if such offer in the notice is not accepted, indicating the amount claimed by such owner or holder as just an equitable compensation. C. Furnishing full particulars as to how the amount contemplated in paragraph B is made up, including a copy of evaluation, other professional report, or other document that forms the basis of the compensation claim, if any. D. If the property expropriated is land, furnishing full particulars of 1. Improvements on the land that in the opinion of the owner, the holder, affect the value of that land, and 2. All unregistered rights that exist in respect of such land or that he or she is aware of, including the name and address of the holder of such unregistered rights. And if the unregistered right is contained in a written instrument in his or her possession under his or her control, a copy of that written instrument. E. The physical address or postal address and facsimile number, if any, to or at which further documentation in connection with expropriation must be delivered. And F. Such information and annexing such documentation as may be prescribed by the minister in order to facilitate electronic payment of compensation to the expropriated owner or expropriated holder. 2. If the property expropriated is land, A, the expropriated owner must deliver or cause to be delivered to the expropriating authority, subject to subject to Section 25 within 30 days of the expropriating authority requesting a title deed to such land, or if it is not in his or her possession or under his or her control, the particulars of the name and address of the person in whose possession or under whose control the title deed is. And B, the person referred to in paragraph A in whose possession the title deed may be must deliver or possibly deliver the title deed in question to the expropriating authority within 20 days of the expropriating authority requesting it, subject to Section 25.
Thank you, madam. Thank you, sir. With regard to 14(1)(c), second line, part of which reads, including a copy of the evaluation. May we add just one more word there, say, where possible? Because within 20 days, one may or may not be able to get evaluation. And mind you, this expropriated owner now may have to incur costs such to get evaluation, such evaluation. But if we say we're possible, because now this becomes a condition. In other words, the expropriating authority may say, or the magistrate may say, you have not complied with all the requirements. So you have got no case, because you haven't provided me with evaluation certificate. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Honorable Matrop.
No, thank you.
I think the colleague is correct to say that maybe it will be impossible to get the evaluation. But if we say where probably we will have a problem, how are we going to determine the equitable compensation because it's part of it? I'm not sure whether if we say where possible because there is a criteria that we use in order to reach at the amount agreed for payment. If there is no evaluation, where are you going to base to your the amount? Maybe to the problem, but it is correct to say that we may have a problem, but my problem is this, how are we going to determine if we don't need evaluation, is it where possible? Because it would be like something.
Other members, obtaining valuation, honorable sultanesses, where possible,
thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think I'm agreeing with the latter member by saying the evaluation role, evaluation is really important because we're going to be basing on it when we deal with the compensation. So if it's not there, it's going to be difficult on how to determine the compensation that is supposed to be paid. Thank you.
Honorable Deputy Minister?
We do hear the point, and maybe we could flag it, but we do think we have covered it with, if any, which I'm sure is sub-C. If you look at C, the very last two words are, if any, we think it's the same point. Okay? Thank you.
Honorable Danny, the microphone. Since there was an alternative, thank you. Okay, so that shall we proceed?
Clause 15, offers of compensation. 15.1, if the expropriating authority does not accept the amount claimed by a claimant in terms of section 41, the expropriating authority must, within 20 days of delivery of the statement contemplated in that section, make an offer of just and equitable compensation to the claimant in writing, furnishing full particulars of how such amount is made up and calculated. 2. The offer of compensation contemplated in subsection 1 must be accompanied by copies of reports detailing how the offer of compensation is determined. If the amount is different from the amount offered by the expropriation authority in terms of section 83. 3. The provisions of section 21.2 apply if A, an owner or holder of an unregistered right does not deliver a statement in terms of section 41. Or B, the claimant decides not to accept the offer of compensation contemplated in subsection 1, but returns reply within 20 days or within such additional time as may be limited in terms of section 25.
Thank you very much. Good colleagues, well read.
Clause 15, particulars of claims and offers. 16.1, the expropriating authority and the claimant may from time to time in writing deliver a request for reasonable particulars regarding the claimant's claim for just and equitable compensation or the offer of just and equitable compensation as the case may be, and particulars so required must be furnished within 20 days of such request. 2. If the expropriating authority or the claimant fails to comply with the request in terms of subsection 1, a court may on application issue an order directing the expropriating authority or claimant to comply therewith. 3. A claim for just and equitable compensation and an offer of just and equitable compensation remain in force until A, such compensation claimed or offered is revised by the claimant or expropriating authority as the case may be. B, the amount of compensation has been agreed to by the expropriating authority and the claimant, or C, the compensation has been decided or approved by a court.
Thank you very much. Please. One second.
intermediation pieces. Let us make sure that there is a precise interpretation of subclause 3A and B. We might want to add the article end at the end of A. 3A and 3B. It looks like the same process continued there. I don't know, maybe I'm misinterpreting the whole thing. I just want to be sure that I've got it right. My understanding is that A and B are two parts of the same process. I admit I made it wrong in interpreting it that way. You know. That's why I'm suggesting that we consider that there's ability of putting the word end after maybe at the end of 3A. They join there. Yes, yes. Thank you very much, Honorable President. Honorable Dreyer, shall we move? Remember, we've asked to go away and change 17. So what we've done is, but we should have made this available if it could be distributed to the members. Let me ask one. And it's 17, 18, 19, and 20, all years which the changes are. Deputy Minister, for ease of exposition and discussion, can somebody just walk us through 17, 18, Madam Parliamentary Vice, is that to you? You may begin as soon as you are ready. If you still want a minute or so to read through it, and then as soon as you are ready, then you can take us through it.
Now be replaced by the version that has just been handed out to us, and as far as I can understand, as a layman, not a lawyer, the right, the expropriated owner is now entitled to payment of compensation on the date on which the right to possession passes. So the right to possession, what does that mean? What day is that? Just to make it concrete in terms of an example. So the owner will now get his or his money on the date on which the right passes. The right of position. What does that mean in layman's terms?
Honorable Dreyer, I'm still going to suggest that we ask the parliamentary legal advisor to take us through
clause by clause and then in regards to the relevant action, then you can just select the question which makes sense. For us for clarity then we are all moving together. My lady, ma'am. Thank you.
Clause 17, proposed clause 17.1, payment of, 17, payment of amount of parties compensation. 17.1, an expropriated owner or expropriated holder is entitled to payment of compensation by no later than the date on which the right to possession passes to the expropriating authority in terms of section 9204, subject to sections 18, 19, and 20.
So for us non-lawyers, in layman's terms, the right to possession, that's the day you could get your money. Okay, is that better? Okay. I just require clarity in layman's terms or concrete terms, maybe by way of an example, the right to possession, what does that mean? I'll just briefly motivate or explain why I'm offering the, as it stands, the owner may have to move off the land and the expropriate authority moves onto the land and you may still wait for your payment. Why not later on which date originally? Okay, so because sometimes people need to get the money from the land that they that has been expropriated to make arrangements or to ensure alternative accommodation for themselves. So they would need compensation before they move off. They need the money of compensation for their previous property to buy or insure a new property. So I need to explanation in concrete terms about when money will pass at what specific stage. I'm not sure what it says here.
Mr. Mayne.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir.
Could I just refer members to Clause 8, the notice of expropriation, and the fact that two separate dates must be indicated in that notice. The notice of expropriation, which causes ownership to vest in the expropriating authority, and then a date stating when the right of possession will pass to the expropriating authority. And why we change possession to right of possession is because actual possession need not take place, but the right to possess passes to the expropriating authority. Remember also that the Deputy Minister has indicated that we will be addressing prior ESTA in Section 9. We must therefore conclude that where the expropriatee is living on the property or in the property, it would not be just and equitable to give them the money on dates of passing of right of possession, expect them to be out within an hour. So that was never the intention. The state has the right to take possession, but needs to be careful in taking actual possession. So that is as far as that is concerned. And be clear that payments of expropriating amounts nowadays take place electronically. So the money is available immediately upon payment. That is why we have specific arrangements for the expropriatee, the expropriated person or holder, to make available information that would facilitate electronic payment.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much, sir. Clarity on the issue, we may proceed. Madam Legal Advisor.
17, subclause 2. The payment, utilization, or deposit of any amount contemplated in sections 18, 19, and 20 does not preclude the determination of an amount by agreement or by a court, provided that where the amount so determined is less than the amount paid, the difference must be refunded to the expropriation authority, together with interest in terms of Section 13 from the date on which the amount was so paid, utilized or deposited.
Thank you. Let's pause there for thoughts, comments?
Mr. Che, you were that great concern about the, now can I call the previous or the old 17.2, but that has been now deleted in its entirety and replaced by a new 17.2 that was part of the old 17.3, which has also been amended. Okay, so our main concerns in the old 17.2 have been removed, so that's fine.
In Greece, you are saying that you are happy with the new formulation. The prayer members. thank you very much, madam.
Sub 3?
You are excused. Thank you, sir. This is the other side of the coin that we're dealing with here. What is the difference such that the expropriated owners are not entitled to more than finally the court decides that no, you were under pay. What happens? And we have to make provisions for that.
Honorable Satani, you are saying that the court says that you are underpaid. Then it means the rest of the court has to be carried out.
Yeah. All the conditions will apply.
The 17 sub 3, any delay in payment compensation to the expropriated owner or expropriated holder by virtue of subsection 2 or any other dispute arising will not prevent the passing of the right to possession to the expropriating authority in terms of sections 9, 2 or 4. Four. If the expropriating authority to expropriated owner or expropriated holder proposed a later date than the date contemplated in subsection 1 for the payment of compensation, the party proposing later payment may, in the absence of agreement, apply to court for an order for payment on such later date, and the court may make an appropriate order having regard to all relevant circumstances. If value added tax is chargeable by payment in terms of Section 71A of the Value Added Tax Act 1991, Act Number 89 of 1991, by virtue of Section 8, Sub 21 of that Act, payment of compensation must be made by the expropriating authority on upon receipt of a tax invoice as required in terms of Section 20 of that Act from the claimant, together with confirmation of the tax compliance status of the claimant by the South African Revenue Services. 6. The minister may prescribe the information and documentation to be delivered by a person to whom compensation or interest is paid in terms of this act in order to facilitate electronic payment thereof.
Thank you very much for the use and abuse of your voice, madam. At the end of this, we owe you more than all these. You want them now. Or you charge them now. We'll send you to the best voice clinic in the country to massage your voice further. There we have it, good folks.
order, can people can be proceed? Madam, when you are ready.
Chairperson, in the document that was handed out, there are proposed changes to 18, 19, and 20. Can I?
As a concurrence?
From 18.1. If property expropriated in terms of this act was immediately prior to the date of expropriation and encumbered by a registered mortgage or subject to a deed of sale, the expropriation authority may not pay out any portion of the compensation money. So, except to such person and on such terms as may have been agreed upon between the expropriating owner or expropriated holder and the mortgagee or buyer concerned, as the case may be, after the claimant is notified the expropriating authority of the agreement. Two, the expropriated owner, expropriated holder, and the bondholder or buyer, as the case may be, must notify the expropriating authority by no later than 30 days from the date contemplated in Section 9204 of this agreement and its terms contemplated in Subsection 1B, failing which the expropriating authority may deposit the compensation money with the master in terms of Section 20(2). Three, in the event of a dispute arising out of a subsection, out of Subsection 1, the expropriating authority may deposit the compensation money with the master and any of the disputing parties may apply to a court of competent jurisdiction for an order directing the master to pay out the compensation money in such manner and on such terms as the court may determine.
Just asking for the court to submitting or reading out these ones, and that we then give ourselves a little bit of time to later study it again and, you know, make sure that we're happy with everything, so we don't comment immediately, just feel a bit rushed then with a new amendment on the table and not sure exactly what all the technical, legal technical terms mean. So I need a bit more time, so maybe we should just proceed so to officially table and then we can comment later, so we reserve our rights, so to speak, at this stage.
I'm for the idea, but this is what we are seeking to do here. Give members adequate time to comment, and where we can agree and move on, we'll do so. But where you say that you have difficulties, you still want to go and consult and come back, just articulate that, then we'll do so.
So, Mr. Chair, it looks fine at face value, but you said the difficult ball this was, and you refer back to section so and so, and then section that and that, and you have to read sources together, so you have to go back and see what this law says to give meaning to this one. So, it's, you know, it's easy to get confused. It's a difficult one. So, maybe I should say it looks fine at face value, but we don't want to be bound by this and make a final, this is a final from our side that we agree so far.
I hear you. Honourable Sultan.
Sure, I'd like to disagree with my colleague, Honourable Clare here. I think we should state whatever we want to state as we come down clause by clause, rather than have a blanket approach to say we'll reserve our comments on this. When do we want to come back, you know? Because we need to finish this. We serve in so many committees, some of us, and we're holding back on everything else, prioritizing this bill. So we would rather finalize it sooner than later. So I suggest that if a person feels that they are not clear what they want to say on a given clause, then the bus must move on. Otherwise, we may never be able to know when we're going to come to an end. I plead.
Let's proceed as we're proceeding, members. But I'm sure there's no way we can complete this work on this bill by today. So I would say that let us discuss, articulate our views. And I would like to, where possible, get everybody on board so that you can ask and come. But we can't say that we are suspending our activities now and we are all going to read and come back on another day. Let's do what we can. Move forward and certain issues you may think. Honorable Madrop. I'm accommodating all of you, and I'm going to make sure that I carry all of you on my back over this river. I've noted you. Okay, let me give you a chance, Honorable Sitole. I had noted Honorable Deputy Minister, but let me take Honorable Sitole.
Thank you, Sir. Chairperson, my proposal, I'm not actually trying to solve what other members have said, but I'm proposing that what we are going through, if individually feel that there's something that's left behind, they can submit it to us, they can take it, they can give it to the children or a con. Any submission that is sometimes you feel that it is left behind.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Deputy Minister. Comment. Let's proceed, ma'am.
Proposed clause 19. Payment of municipal property rates and other charges out of compensation money. 19.1. For the purposes of this section, the charges refer to municipal rates, taxes, or other charges that must be paid in order for ownership of land to be transferred by the Register of Deeds to the Expropriating Authority through registration or in the Deeds Office. 2. If land which has been expropriated is subject to the charges contemplated in subsection 1, the municipal manager must, within 20 days of receipt of a copy of the notice of expropriation in terms of section 8.2.3.1, inform the expropriating authority in writing of such charges as the date contemplated in section 9.2.4. Provided that if the expropriating authority is a municipal capital of the municipality where the land is situated, the notice is not required. 2A, the expropriating authority must in writing by registered mail inform the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of any outstanding charges contemplated in subsection 1. B, if the said amount is not disputed in writing by the expropriated owner or expropriated holder within 10 days of the notification, the expropriating authority may utilize as much of the compensation money in question as is necessary for the payment on behalf of the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of any outstanding charges contemplated in subsection 1. 3. If the municipal manager fails to inform the expropriating authority of the outstanding charges contemplated in subsection 1 within 20 days, the expropriating authority may pay the compensation to the expropriated owner or expropriated holder without regard to the outstanding municipal property rates or charges, or in that event and despite the provisions of any law to the contrary. 8. The Register of Deeds must register transfer of the expropriated property. B, the expropriated authority or the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated as the case may be is not liable to the municipal to the municipality concerned before or after such registration for the outstanding municipal property rate or other charges. And C, the expropriated owner or expropriated holder as the case may be continues to be liable to the municipality for the outstanding rates and charges calculated up to the date of possession, notwithstanding the registration of the expropriated property in the name of the expropriating authority or person on whose behalf the property was expropriated as the case may be.
Thank you. ¿Tienes que comentar? It's a well thought clause. This. It covers all else. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Clause 20, deposit of compensation money with master. 21, expropriating authority must deposit the amount of compensation payable in terms of this act with master, after which the expropriating authority ceases to be liable in respect of that amount. A, if a property expropriated under this act was left in terms of a will or testament to an undetermined beneficiary or beneficiaries. B, if compensation is payable in terms of this act to a person whose address is not readily ascertainable or who, unless otherwise agreed, fails to supply the prescribed information and documentation for electronic payment within 30 days written notice to do so. Or C, if compensation is payable and the expropriating authority after reasonable endeavors is unable to determine to whom it must be paid. Two, in the event of a dispute or doubt as to the person who is entitled to receive compensation payable in terms of this act, or in the event of an interdict in the first of the payment of compensation, the expropriating authority may deposit the amount of compensation with the master. Three, any money received by the master in terms of subsection 1 or 2 must be paid in the guardian's fund referred to in section 86 of the Administration of Estates Act of 1965, Act No. 66 of 1965, for the benefit of the persons who are or may become entitled thereto and bear interest as interest rate determined in terms of section 81B of the Public Finance Management Act 99, Act No. 1 of 1994. A court of competent jurisdiction may make an order which it may deem expedient in respect of money received by the master in terms of subsection 1 or 2.
Thank you very much. That's 21.
Sounds like, why go for May now
when we had opted for master initially, when all he has to do is to pay to the master. Thanks. Thank you, sir. I'm told the tree, not tree, key, trolley, is still on its way like Christmas.
Chairman, can I, on a light note,
yes,
just make a light-hearted comment about the tea? It's not a constant, but I think most people understand this. And he starts things. He commits class. En die staatsdien is die komitee klerk, die baie, baie, baie belangrike persoon. Hoekom? Want die komitee klerk gaan staan maar buiten die gang, as die komitee nog die binnenste, dan kyk hy of die teetbal hier aankom, en hy sien, daar kom die trol, hy sê, komitee, komitee, komitee. I think you need some, but you come and tell us, komitee. Yes, please,
on May, the youth of Master in 1 and the youth of May in 2, in 1, in 20, sub 1, those are the conditions under which the money must be deposited. Under 2, the dispute, and the parties to the dispute may themselves request a delay in transferring the money to make them need a little bit more time to sort out an issue. And we don't want to go through the hassle of it ending up with the master and so forth. And so we're allowing, I'm advised really, we're allowing the appropriating authority might be anxious to get shot at the problem and to deposit. But on a reasonable request from two parties disputing the amount. They might think we need another 10 days. We think we've thought it up, but we still haven't quite sorted it up. Please don't put it into the master. Hence the difference. Whereas in the previous cases, there's no notation or it's in a will order. So.
I'm reliably informed that she will be here in 5 minutes. A year sounds quite a sharp sense of hearing in the passage. Getting warm. Good folks, shall we then break until 11:15? That will give time for body breaks, consultations with parties. Thank you.